If it is possible for you, would you please stand tonight as we read the scripture together in Ruth chapter number 2. Ruth chapter 2. And as you're turning here, I want to thank you. We have a great church, and honestly, we do. Brother Ross talked about being busy. We strive really carefully here to make sure we believe in being busy for the Lord, but I don't want us to be overburdened in what we're doing. And that's why our services, our Thursday service, and you know, we stay on time, and we don't try to overburden you with everything. But I appreciate when there's things going on that you show up. And Friday night, we had a great time with the men's fellowship. It was exciting coming in here, and this place was 80% full with men, and the singing was great, and the preaching was great. The time outside was great. And for some of you, you thought your weightlifting was great. We found out that wasn't the case. Brother Martinez from the Spanish ministry, look, if you're walking through a dark alley, you want him on your side. He did, what was it? What was the weight on there, Brother Pineda? Or he's probably outside with the food. Like 150 pounds? He did it like 50-something times. And I'm like, that's my buddy right there. We're going to walk through an alley with him. Brother Pineda shocked me. Brother Pineda did 45. And then he dropped it on his chest, and we had to bail him out. No, kidding. We had a great time together. And then yesterday, man, everybody coming here. We don't push Saturdays big. I mean, a lot. We have a good group out here, and we're thankful we do that. But an extra big group yesterday just to pass out Easter invitations. We probably got out about 6,000 yesterday. So thank you. And we don't take that lightly, and we appreciate all your work, whether it's in the nursery, in Sunday school, working on bus routes. Thank you for serving the Lord. We'll look at Ruth chapter 2 and verse 14, and you're probably thinking, are we ever going to finish Ruth chapter number 2? We are today. It's going to be exciting. So Ruth chapter 2, verse number 14, why don't we do what we did last time? Let's read this responsively together. I will start in verse 14, the even verses. I want you to read with me. Do this. If there's a comma or a semicolon or whatever, I'm not really good at English, any other little mark on there, a punctuation, quick break, okay? Don't just read it straight through if you know what I'm talking about, all right? So I'll read the even verses. As we get to the odd verses, we'll read that together, okay? I'll start verse 14. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou thither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up, and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I had wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be ye he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for all we've heard and done today. And I pray you'd bless our few minutes here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Welcome back. We are in the book of Ruth. Just to let you know, when I first was meditating and about preaching a little on Ruth, it was supposed to be like chapter one, just a couple messages, and now we're in message number eight. And we're going to finish up chapter two tonight. Chapter three and four will go a lot faster. But we've been looking the last few weeks as we see this story, the goodness of God to Ruth and to Naomi after all that had happened. I don't want to belabor the point. If you've been here, you already understand where we're at in the story. Chapter one is when all the drama happened. They moved out of God's will. The males of the family died. Their daughter-in-laws were there with Naomi, and they were in a place they should not have been. One of the daughter-in-laws goes home. Ruth comes in with Naomi. They get back to Naomi's hometown of Bethlehem. And then Ruth realizes she's going to need to go out and glean to get food for them, to provide for them. And as she goes out, God starts preparing them, or preparing her, for the next chapter in her life, which is going to be marrying Boaz. And this is where she meets him as she is out working. And we've already started this. And we're looking at it. There's many pictures in here, many principles in here, that if we think about it, we remember how good God is to us. And by the way, we can never think enough about how good God is to us. God is good, okay? And we can, and look, say, well, I don't sense God's goodness. It's simply because we don't think about it. It's simply because we're not meditating. We're not catching what God is doing. And all these things seem to be in the background, but God is now bringing them to the foreground so that he can lead her and bring her and Naomi to where he wants them to be. Over the last couple weeks, we looked at a few points. We looked at, first of all, when we are remembering God's goodness, we want to remember God's grace. We want to remember God's providence. We want to remember God's desire to have a relationship with us and God's knowledge of who we are. Tonight, we'll look at the last few, and I want us to see them. Next, I want us to see God's reward. Look at verse 12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. We saw in the story how this lady is in his field gleaning, and he sees her, and it's like, whoa, who is that? Okay, she obviously was easy on the eyes. And then they said, oh, that's Ruth, the Moabitess, who came back with Naomi. And he's like, this is just getting better. Because I know and I've heard about her goodness to Naomi. I've heard about her character. And he starts to talk to her about it. And here he's telling her how he has heard about her character. She was more than just a pretty face. She was, even though she wasn't of the seed of Israel, she was a godly woman. And he's going to encourage her. He says, the Lord recompense thy word, and a full reward be given thee. Recompense means to pay or repay for a work done. And a reward is basically something that's given to us based on an action. What's the point? The point is this. God rewards his children. Listen, serving God pays. Now, do we serve God to be paid? No. But it is nice to know that God is keeping score. God knows what you're doing, and nothing you do is in vain. God rewards us. Why should, and by the way, I like what he says, a full reward, not a partial, not like, and I've never done this, but I remember when I was a teenager, I saw, they had one of these news shows, and they were talking about how much tax they tax people that win in Las Vegas. And then I went there, and I won recently, and I'm like, they do tax you heavily. I'm sorry, I didn't do that. They take a lot of it. That's why you don't gamble, by the way. There's a lot of other reasons. It's not right. But listen, God doesn't rip us off. When God gives us, he gives us a full reward. God is good. By the way, let me just say this. Anything God gives us is better than what we deserve. Man, God is good. He gives us more. You're out working, serving the Lord. He's going to reward you. But why do we serve God? It ought to be out of a heart of love. When we think about this, you know, well, it's a, I know some people, and by the way, many in our church, you really love God. That's not a big deal, though. Now, it is a big deal. Stay with me. But it's not that we love God, but it's that he first loved us. It's a big deal. And so because of God's love for us and out of our love for what his love for us, we want to serve him. We want to do what we're supposed to do. What does God reward us for? God rewards us for so many things. You know, he rewards us for obedience to his word. Psalm 19:11 says, moreover, speaking of God's principles and all the precepts of his word and all those things, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. I learned from somebody many years ago, what do people serve for? Fear of loss and desire for gain. That's right there. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. God's word warns us on some things that would cause us to lose out. But better than that, in keeping of them, there is great reward. How often do we look around at our society and I get on it a lot, and we need to understand what's going on in our society, but we should never be shocked when someone who doesn't know the Lord acts like someone who doesn't know the Lord. Okay? It doesn't matter. We're supposed to serve God, but we go out there and we see things, and sometimes it can creep into our mind. Is it really worth it to keep God's word? Is it really worth it to be what God wants me to be? Yes, it is. You won't be in heaven 5 seconds before you'll thank God that you listened to what he said. God wants to reward us, and thank God for it. You young people, you are hit over and over and over with the pressures of this world. We talked a little bit about that this morning. Don't let it get to you. I'm in a box and I feel like, no. God is helping us. He is keeping us from things that would harm us, and he's getting us to things that would help us. And he rewards us for what we do. You know, God rewards us when we are reviled and persecuted. Matthew 5:11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. By the way, there's a lot being said about Christians today. And Christians are not the source of the problem in this society. Now, I think if Christians stood up and were a light, we could help this society, but we're not the source of the problem. I think Christians ought to be part of the solution. But the fact of the matter is, they don't like us because we're Christians, and we can get all up in arms about it. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus told us that's going to happen. That's just part of it. Rejoice in verse 12, and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You know, when I get to heaven, I do not want to stand next to a martyr. Could you imagine the conversation in heaven? John Huss, I think he was burned at the stake. And I talk next to John Huss, and I go, how did you get here? Well, I wouldn't renounce my Lord, and they burned me at the stake. He looks at me and says, how did you get here? Cholesterol. You know, that just doesn't line up. Listen, our country has changed what they believe about Christianity. We don't know anything about persecution. We've heard the stories, Brother Esposito, Brother Board, all of them that come from Cambodia, when they get baptized, when they get saved, they're facing it. We haven't had anybody get baptized in our waters that they said, because I'm getting baptized, I'm getting kicked out of my family. We don't know what persecution is. So the little bit that we do get, just take it. Well, don't you understand my rights as a citizen? And okay, let's stand up for our rights as a citizen. But the fact of the matter is, and I'm all for standing up like we should, but the fact of the matter is, let's do that, but let's not get off of our main focus. Okay, our main focus is pointing others to Christ. Let's do that, because God rewards us for that. He rewards us for our work and our service. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Listen, I teach a Sunday school class. Thank God you teach a Sunday school class. God sees that. You bus drivers and you bus workers, you're probably the first ones here. Thank you. And I always say, bus captains, you have a bus driver, you need to buy him a coffee every morning. Amen. And throw in a, David always says that because he's a bus driver, amen? And throw in a donut. What kind do you like?
It doesn't matter.
It has to be round and have a hole in the middle, okay? Don't it? That's what happens when you grow up with somebody and then you start working for him. He remembered you like you were before, so he didn't get you anything. But listen, we ought to take care. But when you're out there early, it's like, man, and you do it because you love the kids. You do it because you're trying to make a difference. But also, God sees what you're doing. He sees what you're doing. God rewards us. Thank God for that. I want you to also notice in verse 13, I want you to see God's favor. God's favor. Then verse 13. So Boaz says all these nice things to her. By the way, she's a stranger in the land. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. He's like, why? You're being so kind to me and speaking so nice, and I'm not like your handmaids. I am not of the children of Israel. I am from a pagan land. I'm a Moabitess, but you're showing favor. You're showing kindness to me. Everything God does to us is undeserved, and it's all because of his favor. By the way, I think God has put a little of his favor in our church, and I don't know why. Oh, because you guys know what you're doing. No, we don't. Oh, because we're a church of super Christians. Not one. We won't do it. It's because we can all rip our shirts off, and there's no S on there, unless you got a tattoo of an S on your chest when you were unsaved, okay, and I don't know about it. There are no super Christians. Well, we work hard, and you know what? We have a church that when it's time to do something, people will get involved and work hard. And thank you for that. But can I just tell you something? Anything that happened is because God is doing it. It has nothing to do with us. Someone has said, if you can explain what God is doing, then God is not doing it. That's true. And by the way, if we can explain why it's happening, then God doesn't get any of the glory. God doesn't want to share his glory. You know, hey, I have no idea. We're just serving God, trying to do the right thing and all sticking together. And anything that happens, because God has chosen to say, I'm going to do something there. Thank God for his favor. We don't deserve anything. You see, we want everything just, and by the way, when God does, we better be thankful or else maybe he'll just stop. We live in this a time when people just, we're pampered. We deserve everything. We deserve nothing. So when we do it, let's just say, God did it. He gets the glory. Thank you for doing it. God's favor. That's what she's saying. Why are you being so, I don't deserve this. I'm not like your handmaids. I'm not like your people. I'm just here trying. Thank you for your favor. We should have the mentality that everything God gives us, and we, you know, I like Paul's mentality. In Romans chapter 1, verse 14, he said, I am debtor. He says, boy, I owe a great debt. I know who I am. I know what I deserve. It's like the writer of Amazing Grace said on his deathbed. He goes, I know two things. I was a great sinner, and he is a great savior. I wish we all knew those two things. Thank God for what he does. Ruth noticed how Boaz gave his favor. He comforted her. You know, when you go through a tough time, God is there. We talked a little about that last week. He says, you're comforting me. The way he spoke to her. You know what? Thank God he gave us a Bible. He didn't leave us down here on our own. You ever buy something from like IKEA? First of all, you can't pronounce a name. It's like Swedish. Borsk. I thought it was a coffee table. And you look at the because it's made in Sweden, I think, and by the way, the Swedish meatballs there are pretty good. But why? It's made in Sweden, and so there's no words on the instructions usually. You know, there's a picture of the tools you're supposed to have. But sometimes it's like, can you just tell me what's going on here? The instructions aren't clear. One time I remember one of our children for Christmas, we got him a bike. The instructions were for the wrong vehicle. I'm like, this is not a bicycle. I had a hard time with that one. But you know, God has not left us here alone. God shows his favor not just by saving us, but he saved us and he gave us a book to show us how to live our life. Thank God that he does. And the way he treated her, she was in awe that he would even have any respect for her. God owes us nothing. And anything he gives us is over, is really, we don't deserve it. God's favor. I want you also to notice in verse 14, God's provision. God's provision. Verse 14, Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou thither and eat of the bread. By the way, he didn't need to do that. The gleaning was for those that could not take care of themselves. And so instead of just giving them handouts and letting them be lazy, you had to go to the field and they would drop whatever they dropped, you could pick up and keep. They didn't harvest the corners of their field. You could pick that up and keep it. But that was it. But he's going over and above. He's like, look, come eat at my table. At mealtime, come thither and eat of the bread, dip of the morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and she reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed. She not only ate, she ate, and she says, I'm full. I had enough. God provided for her. And by the way, God provides for us. And even over and above that, after she eats, she's going to go back out cleaning, and he pulls the guys and says, listen, when she's behind you, drop on purpose. So just, oh, oops, I spilt it. Because when they spilt it, they weren't able to pick it up. They had to leave it. So, you know, wherever she was, there's a trail like, That's why it didn't take Naomi long to pick up on it when she came back with a big old thing like, sister, where you been? Someone saw you and they knew, they noticed you. Doesn't God provide for us? You say, but I work a job. Let me ask you this. Who gave you the strength to work a job? Now, I'm not discounting hard work. Don't get me wrong. God blesses effort. God blesses integrity. God blesses when you go out there. But ultimately, God doesn't need to give you anything. I like that, the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, look, I check the refrigerator. I touch base every now and then. How you doing? Okay, open it up. The goods are in there. Just in case midnight munchie happens, all right, we'll do that. I know we have enough food to get through the week. But you know what? I know where the food came from. And even though we may see it, we still need to ask God to give it to us every single day. God meets all of our needs. And you know what God wants? God wants us to rely on him because he's reliable. If not, you know what happens? Pride creeps in. Boy, God hates pride. And all of us are proud. To think that in the whole scheme of things, we're insignificant, to be proud that, hey, we know what's going on. We know nothing. God provides for us. Thank God that he does. And I want you to notice, next, look at verse 18. I want you to see the contentment. Verse 18. And she took it, and she took up and went unto the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned and brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she had sufficed. In other words, I think we missed that in the story. When Ruth was eating, it says she ate until she sufficed and left. That means she kept some leftovers. Specifically to take home to Naomi. So when she goes home to Naomi, not only does she have this big old thing of the wheat there, the barley that they got, she gives that to her. She says, hey, I brought you some leftovers. I didn't have to have everything for me. While God was taking care of me, I wasn't just thinking about me. I was also thinking about you. Can we not be content with everything that God gives us? Can we not look at all that God does for us and see how that God wants to take what he gives to us and allow us to use that to help others? That's when you really have an overflow of what God is doing in your life. God does great things for us and provides for us so that we can go and we're content at what God gives us so we can go and share it with others. Boy, we like to hold on to things tightly. You know, I had seven children, and now we have grandchildren. Look, when they're over and when our kids were younger, you know, their toys are their toys. They do not want to share. And they're going to hold on as tight as they can. It just seems like that's just something that's built into us. We have to fight that. We have to realize when God blesses us, one of the reasons he blesses us is because he loves us, but another reason he blesses us so we can be a blessing to others. Listen, we talk about giving. If we didn't give, we wouldn't be able to do anything to help anybody. If we didn't give our time, we wouldn't be able to serve and do the things that our church does. But thank God we have a group of people that say, I know God takes care of me, but I want to make sure that I can also help to take care of others. See, we need to understand the difference between satisfaction and contentment. Contentment is our attitude towards what God is doing for us, and that's a good thing. But if we're not careful, we get satisfied with what we're doing for God, and we become complacent, and that's a bad thing. Let's be content with what God gave us, but let's see what God gave us that we can share and use with others. It all starts with salvation. God gave us salvation. Aren't you glad you're saved today? Well, guess what? Why don't we take that? And by the way, we ought to be content in that. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood flows in my veins, and I'm not singing it. That would be painful. But I'm glad I'm a child of the King, but he wants me to share with others that they can be the child of the King. Salvation is not something we hoard. Salvation is something we share. And by the way, when we share what God gives us, we don't lose it. We still have it, or we are investing in it. Next, I want you to see God's kindness. Verse 20, Naomi said unto her mother-in-law, to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and the dead. Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, our near kinsman. Naomi starts to get the concept. Ruth walks in. She has a doggy bag. She has a bushel of food. And he's like, whoa, someone noticed you. Where were you today? She goes, you know, I just happened to glean in the field of this guy, and he was really nice, his name was Boaz. Yeah, he let me eat at his table. And she's like, Boaz? Boaz? He's a near kinsman. You see, in those times, this is why they were very interested in who, if you had a brother, you were very interested in who he married. In those times, if your brother got married and he died before he had children, was the brother's responsibility to take her on as a wife and have a child, a man child, through her so his name would keep going. That's why your brother comes, hey, I got engaged. Who? Okay? If you didn't like her, it's like, take your vitamins, make sure you exercise, all those type of things. But now in this instance, both the brother died. So now it goes to the near kinsman. Okay? The nearest male relative. And by the way, he could also redeem their land back for them. And they had lost their land because they had left. So she comes home, she sees the food, she sees the doggy bag and all this, and it's like, Boaz, he's a near kinsman. He could fulfill both of those things. By the way, we're going to see as we get on, that's important because they are in the lineage, the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And so he says, wow. And she just sees it as God being kind to them. Do we see God as being like that? Let me ask you a question. How do you picture God? Too many people picture God as some dictator. You know? But God's not like that. Yes, God has demands, by the way. God is not mocked. We understand all that, but let's keep the balance here. God's kind to us. And she recognized that as God was working in their life and she sees how everything's starting to line up, she's like, wow, he did not leave off his kindness. She's already got it in her mind. She's figured it out. She's taking the next five steps. She's already seeing down the line. She sees the land being redeemed. She sees Ruth being married. She sees a baby boy being brought. She's starting to get it. But she traces it back to the kindness of God. That's a big step for her because a chapter earlier, she said, "Don't you dare call me Naomi," which means pleasant. "Call me Mara. I'm bitter." Boy, the bitterness is starting to flow away. She's starting to see God for who he really is. I love that song, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Again, I'm not going to sing it. But it comes from the book of Lamentations, the very middle of the book. "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." This is good. "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a bad day? If you drive in traffic in the morning, you're probably tempted to have a bad day every day. Aren't you glad God's mercies are new every day? You ever get to the end of the day and think, "This was not a good day. Could have been better. Maybe I let the Lord down." That's a nice way of saying I did something I shouldn't have done. Guess what? When you wake up in the morning, you got a fresh start. Now, you can get a fresh start every time, I know that, but let's stick with the verse. That's kind of what he's saying. Look, there's always a new start. Why? Because God is kind to us. And then the last thing is this, and we're done. God's protection. God's protection. Verse 21, "And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men and tell how they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in another field." She says, I'm guessing you ought to go back there, and you ought to go back there ASAP. What did Boaz do? He told the young men, "Don't you mess with her. You take care of her. If she does something wrong, you ignore it and act like she did right." God took care of them. We need God's protection too, don't we? We have a real enemy. His name is Satan. You know, we have an internal enemy, the flesh. We have a societal enemy. We have the world. But you know, as long as we're in the will of God, we're protected. We're protected. Until God's done with us, it's all well. I wonder if we'll ever get to heaven someday and see things that could have happened to us that we missed because God had his hand of protection. Many, many years ago, we were coming back from somewhere on the 405. There was a car where the 405 and the 22 get together for a couple miles, and there was a car on the side that had a flat tire. And the car in the closest lane was drifting a little bit and was kind of for a while on that white line where it would have hit that car. And, you know, a little bit right before he just and curved out of the way. And as I drove by, I noticed, I said, that person working on their car didn't even know that that car was there. If that car wouldn't have saw him and smashed into him, they wouldn't have known it. And they didn't even know that that car was kind of heading that direction before they kind of, all that played out and they didn't even know. I wonder how many things we don't know. God doesn't care about me. God, are you here tonight? Did you eat today? Okay. Are you still alive? Are you breathing? I was going to say, do you have hair? You don't, if you're a good Christian. All these things we take for granted. God's right there for us. What was the whole point of the last few weeks? I have no idea. I do. The point is this. God is good to us. But my question is, do you realize it? Do we see everything that happens to us as something from the hand of our God to us? Or are we like children sometimes? We give them something and they don't even thank you for it. You ever given your child something, they don't thank you for it? Remember, I learned this from Pastor. I think he gave one of his kids, I was in the office talking to him, one of his boys, maybe you, Tim, God bless you. They came in, and Pastor's like, "Hey, you want a piece of candy, Tim?" It's like, "Yeah." And Tim took a piece of candy and smiled. He started walking away, and Pastor reached over and took it out of his hand and said, "Oh, you didn't say thank you. You can't keep it." What was he trying to do? He's just trying to teach him, let's be thankful because it can be ripped out from under you at any time. Let's thank God for what he's done. Let's see God for who he is. Yes, God is holy. Yes, God commands us to keep his commandments. Yes, if we disobey God and we are defiant, there are punishments. But let me just tell you, God is good. Let's stand together this evening if we could for just a minute, please.